Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Nevin Maguire, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
It's great to have two Man United fans sitting side by side. You know, like, listen,
big hug.
Big hug. Yeah, we need it.
We do.
I had Hector in yesterday, and he's also a big Man United fan. But listen, the thing about United is there's always pain. You know, even in the good days, there was pain.
That's true.
There was just a lot more joy.
I think because we've had so much success, and now it's kind of all went a bit downhill, and then. The Liverpool result the other week, and I have three brothers who are Liverpool fans.
Oh, stop.
I couldn't answer the phone to my twin.
No.
I've never done that because he was just going to gloat and rub it in. And
sometimes you can't. Like, see, when I have like all of my brothers and sisters here who listen to the radio show.
Yeah.
They're waiting for a Man United poor result to Monday morning just absolutely crucify me. So we'll see how it goes on the weekend against
the best,
Spurs.
Aren't
listen, they're absolutely wonderful. Yeah, yeah. I'm treating my whole listenership like my family.
But there is green shoots, as you said, and it's good to
see
that.
I think so. I think there's stuff there. I think the way we're playing, I think, is the bedrock of something better.
Yeah.
Now, better than eighth. I think I'll take seventh. So listen, we'll see how we go at the end of the season. But another thing that might surprise people about you if they don't know, and a lot of people do know now because you're quite open about it, is that you are a massive DJ.
Not a DJ.
No. You are at home. You have a vinyl collection, I think, that would rival most big DJs. How many records do you reckon are in the collection?
Say not far off, maybe 3,000.
3,000.
Vinyl, yeah.
And is it a specific era of music you love?
To be honest with you, I started collecting when I was about 15 or 16.
Okay.
And I always loved the dance music of the 90s. And I used to DJ twice a week on a Wednesday and a Saturday when the restaurant was quiet. Go in. Typical calf. Man, got in for free. You never got paid doing it, but a bit of fun.
Absolutely.
That's all it was. And then I kind of put everything away. And we were listening to our good friend, Deck Pierce, during lockdown.
Rock and beats.
Oh, my God. I have all these records. I'm going to bring them down. They lay up in the attic for 20 years.
Wow.
And then I got Technics 1210s for my birthday, for my 21st birthday.
These are very nice turntables.
My mum and dad got them, and I got a new mixer. My wife got the sent away, revamped, and the rest is history.
Ah, stop. And so would you, at home, like have your wall of records and go, what do I put on today?
Absolutely.
And flick through and pick
but
something.
But I have no system. I'd love Deck to come down and say, now you got to do this.
Okay.
Maybe somebody to. I have no system, but I just love the tunes.
So when you say system, do you mean system of organising the records?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, stop. Yeah. Like my dream, like I will come down and do it for you.
Would
because
you?
I love nothing more than alphabetizing things. So I'll do that.
And I'll
cook
for you. I'd love
deal.
That.
Deal.
Okay.
Right. Another TV show. And a wonderful TV show.
Thank you.
Coastal Trails. So what's interesting about Ireland is, of course, that sometimes we forget we are a small island.
Absolutely.
In the middle of an ocean. So the coastal life, if you don't live near a coast, you mightn't feel it kind of, encroach on your daily life. Well, I live out in Portmarnock. It's there all the time.
It's
you
part
know?
Of your life, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And for people who live all around the country towards the sea, it can affect. So why did you choose this particular kind of route now?
Interesting question, because we're always looking for new ideas. I've been blessed. I've got a lot of kind of lovely TV shows all over Ireland, in Portugal, in Spain, in Italy. But to showcase what we have in Ireland, it's lovely to do that. And we wanted a new theme. So we've done the kind of seafood trails.
Yes.
Now we wanted the coastal towns.
What's great about this is straight away, when I saw the word coastal initially, I thought, oh, it's going to be more seafood.
Yeah. No.
But it's not.
It's not. It couldn't be further.
So great for
and
this.
You know what I look when, because I'm 50 now, and see the way food has changed since I've started cooking. The variety we have in Ireland is incredible. From the chefs to the producers to the restaurants to the food trucks. That's something that when I was trying to be chef, I wouldn't have known what a food truck. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's great. I think we're in an exciting time for cooking and food in Ireland. Difficult time with business, to be truthful too. But,
yeah, of course.
But an exciting time to see that. And the innovation and the variety and the choice.
So you've said words there that make me very excited.
Sorry,
look, and I think we're in a situation right now in our country where there's this talk of immigration this and immigration that. But look, I love when you can have an authentic, for example, Egyptian dish. Like you went to Metze.
That's it.
Which is this Middle Eastern
place
in Waterford, in Tremor. And Devere, is the most recent episode, Devere, who's the chef there, cook these two things. I mean, first of all, the names them alone.
I know.
Shikshuka.
I know.
Like, what a great thing to say in your mouth. I have to mind taste it. And then egga.
Can I tell you, he educated me about spices. Like, I'm a chef all my life.
Yeah.
And you never stop learning about food. To see his love, passion and enthusiasm, where he set up his beautiful food. Like, he was so much fun.
Yeah.
He was just so energised. Like, how lucky am I to be there enjoying that food?
But that's it.
Yeah, you know.
That's my point, I suppose, is that in this country, we have obviously traditional Irish food. But now you have the option to have Egyptian food or Nigerian food or Canadian food or German, whatever it is. And you can learn something. You can learn that, oh my God, my favorite dish, turns out it's an Egyptian flatbread. Who knew? Like, you know what I mean? You never know that until you try it.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go to Cairo. It's there in Tramore.
Doesn't it say a lot about the Irish palate, the way it's changed? Mm. We've embraced these restaurants. We're supporting them. They're using local ingredients and they're kind of adding a lot of spice and interest and innovation. That excites me. That definitely excites me a lot.
And this week's episode, am I right in thinking there's a pasta maker? Because I love fresh pasta there's no tomorrow.
Do you know what? One of the best trips I've ever had in my life was in Italy. Okay. And it's in a region near Modena, and they describe the pasta as kind of silky, soft. And this lady is in Sligo, Pasta Fresca. She came over from Italy, opened up a beautiful shop where you can go and get lovely fresh tortellinis, different pastas, tiramisu. Oh my God,
tiramisu is like my dream. I've said on my own podcast before that if I'm to be buried like an Egyptian pharaoh, I need to be buried in tiramisu.
I love you.
That's what I need to bring to the afterlife.
I want to tell you a good story about tiramisu. My sister used to live in London and I was about maybe 17, 18, went over to visit her, went into Covent Garden to a cafe. A lady said, "Would you like to try her tiramisu?" And I said, "I don't know what it is." I had two of them. It was one of the nicest things. It was delicious.
I've never had a bad tiramisu.
I just think
literally
just
haven't.
Yum.
Yes.
So
yes.
She makes all this. Sligo's an interesting part of the world because it's only up the road from me, 40 minutes. You have Hoot Cafe run by Anthony Gray, great guy. And she does a lovely, interesting kind of a lobster dish. Sligo's a lot tougher. They've just actually, after having their Taste of Sligo kind of like food
festival.
Which is great. Yeah. So a lot of exciting things happen. And we went to a coffee roaster. So it's just really interesting to showcase these small little artists and producers, chefs, and say, wow, this is what we're doing. It's local. It's key. It's seasonal.
Love it. Now, Nevin, I couldn't let you sit there comfortably and do nothing for me. So what I'd love you to do, right,
okay,
is our listeners are listening now, and I'm sure the conversation happens around everyone's kitchen table when, you know, the two people arrive home in a family and the conversation starts, what's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
And
I love it.
Look, it happens in my house all the time. I'm the cook in my house, right? My darling wife will not mind me saying that at all. I love cooking.
Brilliant.
Absolutely love it. I wear my Nevin... what's it called?
Apron. Just say that. Whose apron is it again?
Nevin's apron. I
heard
wear it all
Thank
the time.
You.
Protect my hoodies and my shorts and my runners from splashes. But I'll cook anything, and I love the detail and I love the layering of flavors and all the things. I'm no good, as in I'm not Nevin McGuire or anyone like that, but I just love the process. I find it so relaxing and meditative. And then at the end of it, you get something that's delicious to eat, right?
Absolutely.
So I can completely understand why people like you are obsessed with it, but... For that question of what's for dinner tonight, often I will look in the fridge and go, geez, I don't know. So is there a midweek Wednesday winner that you could kind of easily explain to people that we could just lash together this evening without having to go to, you know, Pasta Fresca in Sligo or Mezze in Tramore? Like something we can pick up in a normal supermarket, but make something that we haven't made before.
Well, something that I kind of make a lot, okay, is kind of like little marinated chicken skewers. You can use chicken thighs.
Okay.
And a quick little marinade, like you can use honey or you can use maple syrup. Either one is fine. Some soya sauce, which is delicious. Ginger garlic. Most people would have them in their,
their
kitchen.
Yeah.
And then a little touch of Chinese five spice is gorgeous. So it gives that kind of like Chinese kind of flavour. There's star anise in that. It's not too powerful.
That's
not
true.
Too strong.
Not too strong, yeah.
Drizzle that over. Mix that all together with a little bit of nice Irish rapeseed oil or some olive oil and over some either chicken breast. I use the little mini chicken fillets. And
With a skewer or something. Yeah.
And that's delicious. And you'll have that rustled up. Marinate it for 15, 20 minutes. Get in your chicken. You can slice it yourself. Our chicken thighs are definitely good value, full of flavour.
And the flavour of them is unreal.
Boneless, skinless. And then you can serve that with a nice little bit of maybe steamed rice or some vegetables. Honestly, that's
how
are
you cooking the chicken?
Oh, sorry, going to grill it.
Grill it.
Absolutely.
Okay, grill it
or else on a, you know, the griddle pans.
Yes, the griddle pans.
Good hot griddle pan. Season up your chicken, a little bit of salt and pepper. And be careful you don't caramelize it or burn it because of
the honey
of
exactly. The thing. Yeah, that
you're
do
too
it.
Good. What are you asking me?
Come on. This is what I'm making tonight now. I want to make sure I have all the details right. And then the other thing then is the restaurant. So I was lucky enough to go up to McLean House. Now, unfortunately, you weren't there when
I
went up.
I felt bad about that.
But look, we'll get
do
back
where
up
I
to
was. I was in Portugal.
You were
recording, just to clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. Something slightly more important. But the restaurant, I couldn't get over the first of all, the food was incredible, but the depth of knowledge of the staff, the way that they like engaged with us as diners, the explanations they gave, like it was just such a wonderful kind of multi-sensory experience as opposed to just, let's just have some food.
I know.
Like it is such a testament to you. It's a brilliant place to go if you love food.
Dave, first of all, you were so kind. I saw the video you posted and I was literally in tears the morning after. I know you're a bit hungover, but I'm not telling any tales. But we celebrate 35 years open this year. We have 60 people employed in Black Lion.
60?
And it's about the team. My head chef is with me 22 years. One of the ladies that would have served you for breakfast, Sheila, she's with us 28 years. Yeah. So when you get a loyal, hardworking staff that are proud of what they do,
yes,
that's the key to running the business.
And the growing of the food in the gardens. You can go out and wander. It was bucketing rain that day. But we took, there was umbrellas there. We took a stroll out. Uh-huh. We walked all the way up the garden. Like, it's just great to see a place like that, as you said, but to be in business for that length of time.
I know. It is. It's a credit to everyone. And particularly my mum and dad, who started in the really tough times, bought the building in 1965 for £1,000. Wow. Punts it was then.
Punts, yeah.
So that would have been a lot of money then. And then they had five bedrooms. Now we have 20 bedrooms. But we're so proud of what we do. And I love the variety I have from being in the kitchen. People think he's never there. I'm still there 80% of the time.
Yeah.
But it's about your team, as you know. And that's so nice what you said, to give our guests a food experience. They're not going to eat anything that they say, God, that was lovely, but I hadn't a clue what I ate.
That's it.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Good local food with a little bit of creativity, with lots of, and just really nice cooking. That's what we try and do.
Yeah. No, listen, the rooms are gorgeous. The little shop there as you're checking out, you're picking up the jams
on
the
way
out. I was like, I told my kids, you can eat anything you want, but you're not touching my Nevin jams.
I love it. Or you'll have to come back.
Oh, I'll definitely come back. But listen, quick fire round before I let you go.
Okay.
What are you currently obsessed with?
Probably adding to my record collection.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually, buying quite a few records.
So would it still be the 90s dance stuff
A little bit, because I missed, there's definitely some of the vinyl. TikTok is great and kind of social media, and you hear it choosing what. Exactly.
Yeah,
definitely. So buy a lot on eBay and then disc jocks. And there's
that's right. Yeah. Oh, they're great places.
They are.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Who is the most famous person in that phone of yours?
Oh.
There'd be lots in there, I'd say.
God, that's a really interesting question. I've never been asked. The most famous person. Now you've got me now. Not often I'm stuck for something.
Give us a celebrity. Drop a clanger there.
Marty Whelan, Mary Kennedy. They'd be good old buddies.
Top of the tree. Yeah. I love the way some
Pierce
people,
too. I have to throw that in there too.
I love the way some people answer that question, because absolutely Marty Whelan is top tier.
I love him.
Other people just go, oh, Madonna. And you're like, Madonna, what?
No, definitely.
We'll stick with Marty. Think back to when you were maybe 8 years old, right? What school were you in? Can you remember?
I was in Carnegie. It was a local national school.
Local national school, right. Yeah. So did you bring a lunchbox in? And if you did, what was in it?
Wow. I'd say there was. Now, knowing Mama was home-baked ham in kind of like in some wheaten bread. She made sure we always had a bacon sandwich, usually, or porridge for breakfast.
Gorgeous.
And then a really good lunch.
That's lovely. And any treats? Yeah.
Any treats? I remember this bar. I think it's Leo, it's called. It's like a Kit Kat. I remember the blue packaging. And I remember my best friend used to bring Lucozade. And I was always so jealous because we never had Lucozade. You know, we had water or whatever like that, or maybe apple juice.
The glass bottle.
It was.
That's how I remember my friend.
And he always had a big
it.
Orange mouth. Yeah, and I said, oh God, I wanted to be him.
Brilliant. Well, I was at a barbecue the other day for my football club that I coach at, and one of the girls was sitting down, and she's not nine, like my 2 9-year-old girls, and we're all sitting down. They were having like cordial or whatever, and I looked at the girls and I said, what drink is that? And she goes, TK Red Lemonade. As if like it was not. I was like, they're 9-year-olds still drinking TK Red Lemonade.
That's brilliant.
Quality.
Love it.
And the final question I ask everybody, Nevin, is, because I don't, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Oh yeah, of course. See, I have one of these kind of, the kind of scrubs. Oh, absolutely.
Like a loofah thing.
Up and down, all over. were you doing something with Mario recently, wasn't it?
Yes, I ask everybody.
I know you do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nevin's a leg washer. That's fair enough.
Definitely.
Well, listen, best of luck, obviously, with McNean House up in Black Lion, but of course, with the new show, Nevin's Coastal Food Trails, tonight at 8 o'clock on RTE1. Nevin, a pleasure to chat to you.
As always. And up Man United.
Keep
the faith. Thanks, Dave. Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.